Just let me know when we're ready. Are we on? Okay, so it being 5 o'clock, let's call to order the October 7th, 2019 regular session of the Historic Preservation Commission. Can I please have the roll called?
Chair Dan Huff?
Present.
Vice Chair Dan Beal?
Present.
Commissioner Tim Bowen? Commissioner Steve Hanistack?
Here.
Commissioner Gail Munden?
Here.
Commissioner Michael Wilson?
Here.
Okay, thank you. So we do, now is the time to the for the call to audience. I'll talk very slowly. call to audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. In order to speak during call to audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing the blue speaker card. So we have one, which is Mr. Loomis, and whenever you have yours ready, it's ready? Okay. So Mr. Loomis.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Paul Loomis, I'm a resident of Oro Valley, and I want to thank the commission for their action last month. I apologize for not being here, but as I said in my letter, the family issues take precedence, and so I appreciate that. I did listen to the tape, and I reviewed your minutes, and I had some questions or comments with respect to the minutes that you may want to consider. Number one, the main purpose of my letter and my request to you all was to use the approved CIP funds in this year's budget for the safety, the fire suppression, and security system for the Bush House, and that was the goal there, whereas the minutes basically say that the letter stated that Mr. Loomis would like the staff to take a different direction with future funds and use them for improvements to steam pump ranch instead of preservation of the property. The goal was to dedicate the funds to the safety, to the security system and the fire suppression system for the push house. It also talked about the motion was that you would use the funds, as Mr. Loomis said. So that a couple comments on the paragraph that starts with Christie's explanation. The Historic Preservation Committee is a commission. It's not a committee. The final statement in the last paragraph was that the Historic Preservation Commission is a nonprofit and they do not fundraise. I don't believe y'all are a nonprofit organization. Unless you want to say that you're part of the town, which is a different kind of nonprofit. And then finally, the motion that's called out under the item is an incorrect motion. So if you could correct that. But again, I wanted to be sure and thank you all, and I appreciate you all listening and taking the time to review the letter. The only other thing that I would ask is that that the letter be included in your minutes, that the document, since it was read into the record. Thank you very much. And if you need another copy of the letter, I've got one.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Okay, next we have Ms. Tracy Alexander.
Thank you all so much. I apologize for Tracy Alexander, I'm an Oro Valley resident. I own the Thomas Gist House in Oro Valley Country Club Estates. We bought it and moved in February this year. At that time, the former owners and we agreed to continue to try and move that along to get that house recognized Gist designer, architect. But we've run into a snag with trying to build a garage in front of that property because the carport that is there has been there since 1959 and it's falling down, it's rotten. So we agreed when we bought the house that that would have to be removed and replaced with something. We would prefer to have a garage, not a carport. We have a golf cart, two cars. My husband's a tinkerer, so. We've run into some zoning issues with the city that you cannot build a detached building in front of a structure. And this amount of space we have to work with, we need a zoning variance to go into the setback by about 5 feet in order to keep it off the house. So our intent is to keep it off the house to preserve the structure of the Thomas Gist property rather than attach it and potentially ruin the historic significance and, you know, cover up a wall that is burnt adobe. So we've sort of worked through this, the attachment part because we can literally just put a roof with a gutter, have the building separate, but the roofs connect with a gutter for drainage. But in order to do that, we need a zoning variance of 5 feet into the setback from the street. So the way the street is, there's these gold dots in the middle of the street, and you have to go 15 feet, 30 feet on either side, and then it's 30 more feet from that to the first structure. So that's 45 feet basically from the curb to where we can have the end of the building be. And if we do that, we would have to attach it to the house in order to get it back away 45 feet. So what we're going to be asking for in November at the Board of Adjustments, is the 5 foot variance so we can keep it off the house, preserve hopefully the historic property of the Thomas Gist structure, and build a garage. And my purpose here tonight is to ask for your support. If you could discuss it maybe for your next meeting, I'll be here on November 4th as well. I think the schedule for the Board of Adjustment is November 19th because the Thanksgiving holiday, they've moved it. So my purpose is to ask for your support, and I don't know what that would mean, what that would entail. I don't know. I'm very new at this. I've never had to do anything like this, so that's why I'm here, is to see if y'all would consider supporting the variance so that when we do present our case, that it might have a little more legs behind it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you?
Can I give an explanation to the commission?
No.
No. Can I tell them what they can do, though? Just
that at their next meeting.
Your next meeting, you can bring it up.
Yeah.
But it has to be in future agenda items,
right.
Just as an FYI. Yeah. Okay, that's all I
wanted to say. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we can, at the end of the, when we're adding future agenda items, we can address that issue.
Okay. That's what I wanted you to know.
Okay, next is council liaison comments.
Nothing at this time.
Okay, thank you, council member. So informational items. Lynanne, did you want to go through those?
Yes, I have a couple this time around. So first thing I wanted you to know is under the new agenda, Agenda Quick is our new agenda program. And the intent is for you guys to click the button that says download the agenda and you're to print them yourselves. We no longer will be providing full packets. So that started last month, but I don't think a good explanation was given. So if you need them bigger, smaller, there, not there, whatever, we will just do the regular agenda, but as far as the rest of it goes, you've got to download your packet. So so that's just an FYI for you. In that, I gave you HPC education and information with today's date on it. It's titled Tax Aspects of the Historic Preservation Tax Initiative. And it's frequently asked questions were these ones. What I wanted to bring up based on the fact that we had a conversation, Dan Beal came in last month, and Dan Adams. All the Dans.
All the Dans.
I'm sorry.
Too many Dans.
Dan Adams came in last month and discussed his desires for the property. But I wanted you to have the opportunity to kind of read through, because one of the things that I have tried to share with you all is that there are tax incentives for people who own, buy, refurbish, have a business in, etc., a historic property. And so that's kind of the information I've been trying to give you instead of just things you can attend. I know probably many of you now are on the same email list that I am that give that information, and so I've gone to this form. I thought I'd just read one little tiny piece, and then I have other items for you. It says, how can property owned by a tax-exempt entity utilize rehabilitation tax credits? The rehabilitation tax credits would be of no use to a tax-exempt entity. However, in many instances, tax-exempt entities are involved in rehabilitation projects by forming a limited partnership and maintaining a minority ownership interest as a general partner. In these situations, the limited partner would be entitled to the rehabilitation tax credit, and the tax-exempt entity is able to ensure that their organizational goals are being met. So if all of you understood that, there can be a partnership with someone who wants to rehabilitate the property. They're able to get the tax credits that help them pay for that rehabilitation process, whereas we ourselves aren't eligible for that because we don't pay taxes. There's a whole process, and this kind of outlines a little bit of it. The other thing that I included was, what is an RFP? And I believe that there's a second sheet that also says, what is an RFI, a request for information. But an RFP is a request for proposal. And we're going to hear a little bit more from Dan Beal today and one of the other discussion items about this subject. And so I wanted to give you kind of the definition that you can find online. So that's that information. And then I'm also going to roll my department report into this with the fact that we're almost done with the chicken coops. If you've been out there, if you haven't, go out and see them. They're really looking sharp. And then this month, our second Saturdays return to their full-fledged vigor. And so we'll have our art and antique vendors along with our Commerce Corral, our music. The Historical Society has presentations that they're doing, and they're now rotating that with a special guest in there every month. Speaking of the Historical Society, they have a docent training on the 9th, if you wouldn't mind touching on the time when you go into that. And then, as many of you know, this was the month that we did the Monster Mash just last Friday, and then we have the Haunted Hayrides. Just to give you, the Monster Mash was so absolutely huge, we had no idea it was going to be that size. Was too big for us to handle with the staffing and everything that we had. So volunteers are definitely requested for next year. But the Haunted Hayride, in case I didn't share with you what the concept behind those, it was, we study local folklore or Arizona-wide folklore and, you know, haunts that people have reported over, and we really tell the story of Arizona history through this tour, and it's all, of course, this fun folklore haunted history, and then end back at Steampunk Ranch, and we have Buster Bailey, a little story about Buster Bailey, and maybe he's a ghost now, and he passes right past Betty Lieber, who her grandchildren reported to me when we first gained access of the property that they used to see the chair rocking, so they believed Aunt Betty was still there, or Grandma Betty was still there. And so we say, you know, thank goodness you're here to party, because Betty loves a party, and then she starts rocking in her chair, and we have a great character. So it's really fun. It's fun for adults as well as children, adult children, teen children, grandchildren. So invite you to bring your kids out to that and take a taste of the other side of history. We also have, and so the next dates for that is the 11th, 12th, this next weekend, and then the 18th is the final one. And then we have a concert at the ranch on November 1st. And then I just wanted to let you know that, other years I have attended the National Historic Preservation Conference. this year, because that was going to happen during these hay rides and everything, which was not going to be good for me to be gone during, I went to the International Festivals and Events Conference, which I also attended that before, but it was in Colonial Williamsburg. So I capitalized on that opportunity to learn how they did their ghost tour, but how they also have their museum set up, how they have their town set up, how they have their signage set up, how they, you know, so I learned a lot for our purposes. So I doubled the town's money by benefiting both my hats, recreation and cultural services. So that is the end of the report. But I would ask you all to stick around at the very end of the meeting. We'll turn off the machine, and I do have an announcement to make off record. So.
Okay, thank you, Juan Ann. Item number two, report from Moro Valley Historical Society President. Roxy, are you down there?
I'm here, yes.
I see you.
Yes, thank you. We have quite a few things going on this month and next. Jim Williams, who I think most of you have met, he's the man that wrote the book on Oral Valley and the families around here. He's going to be taking a group on a hike to Romero Canyon later this month to go along with the theme. We're featuring the Romero family and homestead in the Push House. But he's been offered to take a hike. And he can only take 20 people because he's concerned that people won't be able to hear him if they become stragglers.
Do you mean Romero Ruins? Because Romero Canyon
no,
is...
No, Ruins.
Romero Ruin, yeah. Okay. Romero Ruin.
Okay.
That's a doable hike, whereas the other one is like an aggressive 5-mile round trip, steep uphill. I don't think he's going to
okay,
do that one.
Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the ruins.
Yeah.
Okay, the second item that we have is the Jim Click fundraiser continues through the fall with the drawing for the winners in December. And so if you would like to take a chance on getting that new car, it's $25 for a ticket. And they also have an excellent second prize and an excellent third prize. Amazes me that Jim just gives the car away. All right, the third thing that we have, Joyce is continuing with the Heritage Garden, but because of all the problems she's had with rodents this summer, she has decided to do the planting for the fall and next spring in stock tanks. And that way the rodents can't get into the stock tanks. And she may need to get more stock tanks. She definitely needs to have some more help. So we're thinking of the possibility of hiring some young people to help her, especially with the heavy-duty stuff. All right, next one, Terry Colmar is our fundraising chair. And through her suggestion, we're going to have a Chris Kendall Market. And while she was in Chicago this summer, she went to a huge place that has all kinds of Christmas stuff, so especially with the German accent. And so she's ordered a lot of that stuff so we can sell it through the Chris Kendall booth that we're going to have at the ranch. And that's going to start, I think it's November 11th, and run...
I think it's the 9th. It's the second Saturday.
Yeah, it's the second Saturday. Until the 21st of December.
And so it's going to run almost 2 months. So hopefully that will be fun. And we're looking at it optimistically that can be an annual thing if it works out.
It is the 9th, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. And the reason she suggested the German theme is because Push came from Germany originally. Okay. Jim Scalacki has taken over the newsletter, and we sent the first one out this weekend. So I want to thank you for your time and attention. And as Lynn Ann mentioned, we have a quarterly information meeting for people who would like to be docents or thinking about it. So this quarterly information meeting is on the second Wednesday of the month. and it will be at 2 p.m. Okay? Do I have any other comments from the people on the sidelines? Lynn Ann?
I just need to ask you one question on your newsletter. Can the commission get to those on your website by any chance, or because they may not have been on an email?
But I can also send it to them.
Just wondering.
Okay. Would you rather access it through our website, or would you like me to just put you on my email list?
I'm fine with either way, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Paul, did you have a comment to make?
Just that we did support the Monster Mash.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The Haunted Hayride. And we plan to continue to support the Haunted Hayride for to help them out with the Witch's Brew and the Monster Mash cookies.
So that's it from the Historical Society.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Number three, report from Ms. Gail Munden, liaison to the Historical Society.
Yes, the Society would like confirmation from the staff that the $100,000 allocation to the fire suppression system and security system for the push house will be used for that purpose. Paul has diligently lobbied for $50,000 to be added to the $50,000 already set aside, and we feel that they feel that it's fair that it they have confirmation. Can they also get an accurate estimate to when those final projects will be complete? Also, since there's a surplus in the town's budget, can a large sum be directed toward finishing the restoration of Steam Pump Branch? It's not golf or soccer, but it's a vital part of Arizona and Western history and deserves much more respect than it's currently receiving. So, that's my report.
Okay.
Also, Paul referred to an improper motion. Was that the one I made?
No, it was,
okay.
And we'll actually, we're getting right there. It's our next item, but was that it for?
That's it for me.
Okay, thank you. So regular session agenda, review and approval of the September 9th minutes. My one modification, revision, adjustment was the one, well, the last one that Mr. Loomis highlighted. So it goes through a nice summary, and this is item number three. So it was the discussion we had on those additional monies at Steam Pump. And then it says motion by Commissioner Steve Honested, seconded by Commissioner Gail Munden to approve the essay questions and due date. So obviously that's the wrong agenda item. And then I was shown as opposing that. So I just want that clarified.
So I have to apologize to everybody. This is a new system. We're figuring it out. So throw me a learning curve there.
Sure.
And we're trying to get her some proper training.
No, absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
So we just need that modified, and then if any other commission members saw anything that needed to be amended, now's the time. And if not, we can do with that amendment that I just read in there, at least to assign that motion to the correct agenda
yes.
item, if we have a motion to approve those minutes.
With changes.
With the amendments.
Okay.
Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes with the amendments set forth.
Thank you. A second? Okay. Commissioner Hanna said all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? And so it carries. Number two, discussion of the possibility of a public-private partnership to repair the Proctor Lieber House.
Point of order, Mr.
Yes.
Chair. I didn't know I needed to say I abstained. I didn't attend last session, so I didn't.
That would be a valid abstention.
Yes,
yeah.
So I abstained, so we should.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item two. Lynn Ann, is that?
This actually is, and I guess it wasn't noted, but this is a subject that we're asking Dan Beal to talk about.
All right. Good evening. How is everybody? I hope you're enjoying the October weather.
Yes.
So recently, we had a guest at our meeting that presented a vision of a partnership in the rehabilitation of the Proctor Lieber House. That was Mr. Dan Adams, about couple months ago.
Just last month.
Yeah, and I think he came back a second time, right?
Oh, yes.
He did, yeah.
So he came back, and he conveyed that he was unclear as to the process of the procedure of how he could present the proposal to the city. I mean, that was my take on what happened there. So I just want to share with you, this kind of reminds me of the development process that we're going through, similar to Rio Nuevo. Is everybody familiar with Rio Nuevo, downtown
yes.
Tucson? So she's laughing. She gets it because it was like the biggest joke for a while, a 20-year process. And then what happened overnight, they did a joint venture with private partnerships. And if you've been downtown, you've seen this major rejuvenation. And during that process of the 20 years, they spent multi-millions for feasibility studies. And finally, we got somewhere. So we're not doing a development like downtown. We're talking about historic treasure. And I'd like to share with you some history of the Proctor Lieber House, Steampunk Ranch, which we all know. In 2007, Oral Valley, with the help of Pima County, purchased the ranch for $4.5 million. And a task force was created to determine the best restoration and development of the property. And then in 2008, the task force, they recommended a bond funding of $2 million. And this bond funding plan, it's my understanding, never happened.
It failed.
So in 2014, the city council, restates the 2008 study, and they estimated the cost to restore the Proctor Lieber House to be $463,000. But after talking to the town historic society, councilmen stated that the estimated cost would now be $510,000. And by the way, the city, according to the report I read, has spent $1.5 million on the property since the acquisition back in 2007. And in 2014, the city council member, I'm just quoting one quote I saw, we can't have a plan if we don't have financial backing. So my thought on that is we can't have funding without a plan. So basically we have what I would call as gridlock. Right. Everybody agrees we have a historic treasure, but it appears there is certainty no real funding in the city budget for restoration of the Proctor Lieber House to bring it to its full usage, including fire protection and security, and the historic preservation archive and office for the Historic Society. So the property has the historic designation on both the state level and as well as the federal level. So apparently the city has made the commitment to invest in the future of this property. So one solution, similar to what happened back on Rio Nuevo, is to create a private-public funding of the restoration of the Proctor Lieber House. And the city would lease the building with certain guidelines. So I've done some research. I looked across the United States. And there's been a number of similar projects. Even national parks have done this. And they would create a request for proposals, RFP. And the great thing about this is that the city has complete control. We're not like giving away any rights, and we don't have to approve any type of RFP that comes in. But if we got the dream RFP through, we could go ahead. And the city controls. You know, what I found in the research on this, reviewing other RFPs, is that the city controls exactly what we want. And as the historic commission, we can give input. We're charged with the restoration and the preservation of this treasure. So the city would have a statement of what we don't want also. I mean, I assume we don't want an amusement park, right? Or severe commercial development. We're basically looking for preservation of the historic treasure. So we state what we want, And there's simple guidelines. So I think what Mr. Adams may have been missing is he didn't have these guidelines. You know, there was no really request for a proposal. But some of the common denominators you would see would be a term of the lease and the amount of the rent. And that can be bid up. I mean, that could be, you know, it's similar to like when somebody buys taxes, a tax lien. They can bid the tax return up, all to the city's advantage. So they could say they could pay a premium lease in exchange for, you know, the term of the lease. The building use proposal. So we would actually, you know, in that request, or the city would, state what is the use. And there'd be clear documentation on the preservation and the rehabilitation plan. And there would be also proposed environmental and fire safety issues, you know, built into the plan. And there would be a detailed rehabilitation and investment plan and evidence of the financial and management capability. So that's a clear point there. We want somebody that knows what the heck they're doing, right? And has got a track record, terms and conditions of the proposal. So why should we bring in the private sector? It appears, at least in my year and a half just watching on the commission here, it's not in the immediate budget for development. They seem to be short on funds. And the bonds don't seem to be an option. And the RFP works. It actually creates a creativity come in. The private sector could have a great vision and dream. And it has a competitive advantage to the city, so that they have multiple input from you know, from the town, people that want to invest in this treasure here. So the success of this renovation could also be a catalyst for further development of the property, similar to what happened in Rio Nuevo. And also, I think the goal is to expedite the execution of the long-range vision for stewardship of the Steam Pump Ranch for education and inspiration. So, on conclusion, I believe a public-private partnership of the development would be a solution and recommendation to the City of Oro Valley.
So, and I'll just add a little bit to that. So things that I don't know if were super clear was that means multiple proposals. That doesn't mean a Dan Adams proposal
exactly.
Only.
Yeah.
That's a
yeah.
It's a multiple proposal process.
Yeah, it's a public marketing goes out, and that's another aspect that it would be important that if we gave an endorsement that we would want to include a marketing plan, so it goes, you know, across the internet to the United States. I mean, it could be outside funding that comes in.
So anyways, that I thought it was important for you all to hear what kind of opportunities that we all kind of had talked about before that were possible, and then Dan Adams really brought it to the forefront of all of you all, but without the explanation of how something like that could happen. He just, so maybe we put the cart before the egg there, and Dan Adams would very likely be one of these, and he could be the one that was chosen if his proposal was super duper. There may be somebody from New York that wants to put the money in and their proposal is super duper, or somebody who invested in property in Rio Nuevo and wants some up here. You know, we don't know what that would really look like, but this is just one means to an end that it was a really good idea for you all to be informed about. So,
is this a good, what would be the time frame on that, Lynn-Ann, from?
It's just a discussion point. Am I allowed to answer?
You can, clarification? For the discussion.
Okay, yeah, okay. Go ahead, ask again.
What would be the time frame for inception of this creation to possible completion?
So first of all, what would have to happen is that we would have to make the recommendation to the town that they do an RFP, because we're not even there yet. So that would really be like, if you wanted to bring it up as future agenda items of having that be possible action, then we can, then you all can take a vote and say, yes, we'd like to request that, you know, town management, because that's above me, start with the appropriate staff to work on this process. And then they would put out the RFP. How long that process takes, I really don't know. I would guesstimate that it's over a year at least to get just the selected individual and know that we're moving down the line towards them getting design documents and stuff. So yeah. As far as construction, if that's what you're talking about, I yeah. would foresee that be not an immediate by any means.
Thank you. So,
yes.
Another clarification question. Does the town have a standard time format for the amount of time that an RFP has to be advertised before it's issued, and then how long it takes to respond to the RFP?
It all depends on what you're asking for. There's different time limits for different things. So on something like this, it's going to take a while because I haven't heard any details yet.
Yeah, it would be, and it would all have to be written up. We're not.
Unfortunately, one of the things in my past life was I was procurement manager for a federal agency. Uh-huh. So I know how complicated this could get. And in particular, it could be more complicated as what I perceive to be an unsolicited proposal has already hit the table.
You're right.
So,
well, and I don't think it's on any official table, but it definitely has gone on the table that is on both sides of several ears, several heads, I mean. So, you know. Yeah.
Anything else? I think it's exciting. I mean, there's limited things that the government can do. Obviously, Steam Pump Ranch is a public resource. There has to be careful contemplation of what's used at that property, how it's used. The private sector can do things that the government can't do in terms of innovation and risk. The government can't do is limited with what it can do with public funds. And I think when you have those partnerships, and as Commissioner Beal was saying, there's been really great examples across the country. This is obviously at the very beginning of this, and I think it's promising. Dan Adams has talked to us a couple times, and I think he'd have to go back.
Yeah.
And resubmit if there were something that were officially opened up.
Yeah, there's not been any official right. submittal by him, but I think in my estimation, the most exciting thing that Dan has been able to do is stir the pot, because we were settled and not a whole lot of stirring was happening, and we need something to happen in order for things to begin to move forward. He deserves kudos no matter whether how things go or whether the town does an RFP or does not do an RFP. At least we've had a little stir, and that's good stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Number three, discussion on Steam Pump Ranch master plan related to stabilizing the interior of the Lieber House.
Okay, this is in response to a request that Gail had in future agenda items a few months back. And so I just thought I would pull up the information that I have on past interior work that needed to be done. So the we have the original master plan and what it determined would be within the house itself, which if you have or look up that original document, it was going to take off the last portion of the house. When we redid the master plan in 2013, which is where the $510,000, that's where that came from, it was just an escalation by the company that originally gave us the bid or the financial report. But at any rate, so definitely things changed from the first one to that one based on the fact that we were keeping more and some of the areas that were going to be taken away probably weren't in any assessment for stabilization at that time or anything. They would
is that
because
the north
they were
thought the south side of the house.
North, yeah.
The hot tub room.
Yes. But I do have the assessment, the condition assessment from 2015, and that's the one that I've referred to several times in the meetings. And much of the work was done. It talked about a roof ceiling leak. We did re-roof or do a elastomeric coating on the roof. So that was taken care of. But again, that report said, you know, all of these things are based on stabilization, not permanent repair. And, you know, that should all be looked at in a year or two. So that's in you guys' purview to request another assessment at some point in time, see where we are now, because the permanent work has not yet been done on many of the structures. It also talked about the rodent activity. We, at the time when the assessment was done, we had rock squirrels that were like wreaking havoc on the property. They're the really cute little squirrels, but they also like to get into adobe buildings like this one with their really thick walls and literally burrow up the middle. So when the house is finally has the walls done, they will find some of those hollow segments of the walls. But we have gotten rid of the rodents. So the not mice. We still are fighting them on an ongoing battle. But the rock squirrels we captured and released elsewhere, and we are not seeing them at all on the property anymore. So that was. Box squirrels. Well, they get to be, but we did. We had the live traps. I mean, and we had a eco pest, so they do healthy rodent control. They just captured and released. So
I have my house, and I think that's where they came from.
We took them to your house and let them go. And then it also talked about cleaning up the dirt that was left behind because of the rodents cleaning up or taking down the walls. So the things that have not been addressed that are there is a crack in the very front window, the big window. So those of you who know the story of the second story know that the town had to request that the Liebers move out before they were really ready to go because we could see that second story was going to fall off. It was built without proper infrastructure in there, and we owned the property, but we're kind of continuing a short-term lease for them. So because they, I mean, it had been continuously basically lived in since the 1870s. I mean, there was a lot for them to move, you know, but we had to ask them to leave because we could see that was going to fall off. And it didn't take, I don't have an exact date, I would have to look, but it felt like 2 weeks later. It was just a really bad storm that came in, took that whole second story. It might have been 3 weeks, it might have been a month, but it was quick after we got them out. And it took out that whole front window, and I don't know what was not accomplished correctly, but there is a crack. You can see it in the inside right there. I'm sure it's stable because it's some of the newer work done, but there is a crack. They also talked about the cracks in the floor in the Proctor Lieber house, and they do exist in the concrete floor. That front corner, the same spot where the second story did fall in, when I went through there with Linda Mayro from Pima County, she was saying we'll have to do helical piers or whatever, where we're going to have to pump up the cement corner there. What has been our belief that happened is that the tree roots that when we stopped watering because we took the property but didn't have water, and they had been watering excessively, and so they had all these giant trees, and those roots withered back. They left, you know, an absence. They left an absence. And so there are a few of the buildings that you can see that corner is one of them, of the living room. And then the wall underneath those windows, which I made a big issue to you guys last year, and we went in, took off the plaster and rebuilt the adobe. That was one that they talked about. So that has been stabilized. There is a roof or ceiling over the restroom that originally, and it looks very damaged, but it's the ceiling that looks very damaged. The roof above it has been made to no longer allow for leaks, but it looks pretty much like an eyesore, but it's stable currently. And then just all the road damage monitoring is, again. So those are the things that assessment report gave that still need to be done on the interior, which was the specific thing that you talked about, Gail. So this was just a report. So you know, you all can bring that up as a future agenda item if you'd like to talk about you know, what you want to do about those items. But that's just a report for you of where we are at with that. So.
Okay, thank you.
This is a report.
Thank you. Number four, discussion on funds generated from events hosted at Steampunk Ranch.
And this one I did bring up to your attention, and Steve also had spoken about it, but it was an item that a member of the commission brought up as well. And so I thought I'd kind of remind you, because I think I have touched on it, but we did have, and especially after this event that created a fair amount of revenue, I thought was good timing. There is a general fund, and each of the departments, divisions, and all that have codes within it. All expenditures and revenues have codes. Many years ago, and some of the historical society that's been around for a while will remember, centennial year, the town hosted a little a raffle. I don't know whether we were supposed to or not, but we hosted a little raffle. And all those funds went into a certain code, and so that. And I've checked with Wendy, that code still exists. Those $2,000 that were raised off that raffle still exist in there. And we can request that percentages of the money raised at Steam Pump go into that revenue code. So, and that just makes it easier to pull back out, because it doesn't have to go through necessarily all the same processes, because it's meant to be a put in for use. So anyways, for Steam Pump. We still have to go through processes with the finance department, but that code does exist. And so I have mentioned it before, and I thought I'd remind you all that it does exist, because it was a question.
Could I ask for clarification on that? Uh-huh. Is it considered to be a trust fund, a reimbursable fund? Is it no year, or is it subject to council appropriation?
As far as I know, because the funds are spent, I'll let these guys clarify, but the funds are a small enough amount currently. This is only $2,000. They were put in there for access should we have a shortfall for something that was budgeted at Steam Pump. We thought we were going to need it for the cover over the pump house, and then we didn't. But basically, I just write a letter to Wendy every time that I think we might need it and ask her how much is there. I now keep that record, but we can't. It's accessible. If it gets very big, I think it probably has to go through all the same processes, I would guess.
Yeah, it's actually part of the appropriation of the Parks Department. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you able to share with us what amount from the Monster Mash? It was
considerable. We don't have the entire tally,
yes.
But it looks like day one that we brought in about $8,000.
Wow. Thank you.
So how do we go about requesting that percentage that goes into that number?
Well,
we make a motion?
We can't right now.
Yeah,
that's a discussion.
But we could put it.
We can. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Some of that is shared funds that will be shared with the organizations that gave us people. So not all of that, but that's.
Yeah, but we can build a fund.
Yeah, we can build a fund with some portion of that. Yeah. So.
Okay, thank you, Lynanne. That brings us to our last item, the future agenda items. So if anyone has anything, I have several, so I can just go unless anybody wants to put something in. Okay, so mine, I would like to put, maybe not necessarily on the next agenda, but I would like to keep an update on that public-private partnership. Even if there isn't anything to update, I think just keeping it on the commission's radar, and there may not be, that may develop into something. A lot of that's outside of our control. I won't go into that detail, but I'd like to see that agenda item on there. The other one is I would like in some way, I don't quite know the verbiage on this, but something to give. I know that the town staff has studied Steam Pump Ranch, its needs, its priorities. I would like an agenda item on there to discuss that from the town staff's perspective, the financial priorities at the ranch. So if we could put that on the next one, I'd like to hear more about that, I guess is the way to put that. That's it from me. Anyone else?
Yeah, that's. I would like to put on the agenda the support for the, and I apologize.
Ms. Alexander.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Oh, Tracy.
To discuss that and do what we need to do to support.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the right thing to do.
And then the item about the generating the funds generated from events at Steam Pump. Can we
finance to figure
can
out
we it. Request a budget increase from the town?
So the way that we've done that, and I'll we're on future agenda items, so limited. But in the past, this commission has made recommendations before, but that's what that is. And that really is the function of the commission. I mean, we serve at the pleasure of the town council. And so this commission can make affirmations and recommendations to the town council. And that's been done before in terms of budget priorities. I don't know if that helps.
A question on that?
Yes.
If we wanted to make recommendations on funding, would the correct thing be to put it as a future item for both discussion and recommendation?
It would have to have an action component to it.
Yes. Yeah.
To go anywhere.
Okay, then timing on that? Next meeting?
Next meeting.
Okay.
And how did you word that one?
Well, we have a discussion.
We would like to make a recommendation to the town to increase the budget to the restoration of Steam Pump Ranch.
So I think we'd have to say we would like to discuss and consider a recommendation, something like that, rather than to forego our conclusion ahead of time.
Yeah, so there is a timeline when all of those things are, I mean, you can certainly start conversation because it's really, we have to start making those requests in like December, maybe
next year, right?
November. For the next year, so your timing isn't that off. But yeah, so what would happen is that we would make the request to the CIP, and that's how that happens. So yeah.
Just to make clear that it's not just to discuss it only. That
you
we
want
actually
action.
Could be able to make a recommendation.
Right.
Discussion and recommendation.
Possible
yeah.
action.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys got? What did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. And that also, just as a point of clarification, if there's specific items that a commission member wants the town to look into further, so for the town to bring information to the commission, that you can request that as well.
Okay.
The town has its own limitations, but that's a request you can make. Anything else on future agenda items? That's good. That's several.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you guys because you're usually very quiet. There's a few this time.
Did I voice mine properly, or how do you? Were you?
Oh yeah,
you did make it right.
Yeah, you did it well. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, if there's nothing else, I just need a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay, Commissioner Bowen, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Okay. We'll just go.